This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Olsher.
Oh, man. All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Olsher, along with the beautiful Mary Goulet and Rich Ote, and there's White Wade somewhere around here. All right. So really, really cool show today. And super excited you guys are here hanging out with us live. And if you're listening to the podcast, thank you for doing that. But for those who are joining us live, awesome. And thank you and welcome, because we've got Alex Bloomberg joining us. And I don't know if I got to tell you, I thought I knew a little bit about media. I thought I knew a little bit about radio. I thought I knew a little bit about podcasting. I guess I don't know jack shit.
Yeah, we're going to learn today.
Evidently, because awesome. I did not know Alex at all. And that is just wrong. Like, there, what is wrong with me? Like, I need...
I gotta, list?
Or there's that.
The list of items?
Where should we begin?
What would Michael say?
Michael would say dumb, old Coke or dumber, new Coke. Oh, no, dumbest. That's... he was talking about old Coke and new Coke, wasn't he?
No, he was saying old company, old Co.
Oh.
And new Coke.
You seriously... You...
Damn, that explains a lot. Okay, now clearly I understand why my business is for shit, because I've been thinking about old Coke and new Coke this whole time. All right, let's bring Alex up, and for those of you, by the way, who haven't checked out that that episode with Michael Gerber, that is a heck of a good one there, especially if you are in business or thinking about getting into business. Make sure you listen to that episode. Alex, are you here with us, my man?
I am here.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So,
here's, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, very cool, man. Here's how I judge whether or not somebody is actually worth knowing. And so you'll know where our relationship goes after this, Mary Goulet and Rich Ote, and White Wade, of course. But if you have your own Wikipedia page,
right?
Then I know you're actually somebody. And you can see that Steve Olsher, Rich Ote, Mary Goulet, White Wade, we do not have our own Wikipedia. So clearly this will be our last episode, and thanks for joining us here on the Sayonara, Alex.
You guys know how Wikipedia works, though, right? You can just make one yourself.
I tried like, that, and they
that
said
could be very easily remedied.
Well, you know what? Evidently, I'm not smart enough, because I tried that, and they actually what they ended up doing, they said, hey, your first post happens to be about you. It's like, evidently, like, that's, I was like, whoa, okay, I better not try to do that. So they deleted it. But I got to get, here's what we're going to do. Alex.
So you're not allowed to do that.
Evidently not. So, Alex, I'm hereby recruiting you from this point forward. Will you please build my Wikipedia page? Like, please? Because evidently I can't. All right, so you.
We can work it. Yeah.
No, you got a pretty interesting background, my man. I got to tell you, we don't have many award winners on the show, although we did have a Nobel Peace Prize nominee, so that was cool. But what is the George Polk Award? I mean, I know generally what it is, but for those who don't know it, that's a pretty big deal that you got that thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was, so it's a journalism award. It's the Polk, I think, is, that's the one that, oh no, the DuPont is from Columbia University. The Polk is an award that they give to journalists. And yeah, it's a really high honor in my field.
Yeah,
and it was really exciting to get one.
Nice,
it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, man, yeah. And actually, like, there was a whole award ceremony and whatnot. They put you in front of one of those big, like, that's when I know I will have made it. Not just a Wikipedia page, but I will get an award in front of like one of those big, huge, overgrown coins. Like, you ever seen like one of those? You know what I'm talking about? Like, look up Alex and the George Polk Award, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He got an award like in front of this big, huge coin. Like, at least that's when I know, like, I will have arrived when I get my award in front of the coin. But man, you...
Well, let me tell you, it changes your life forever. I used to be... No. Nothing really happened.
No. It's kind of like me. I hit the New York Times bestseller list, and nothing's fucking changed. I mean, it's just the same thing. No different at all. All right, so for those who don't know you, which, by the way, they may not know you, but they certainly will know your work, man, because the things that you have done in your career, I mean, I'm not just blowing smoke here, man, because there's a show for that, and I think it's called Where There's Smoke, but that's not this show. This is the Reinvention Radio. But the things that you've done in your career, pretty damn stellar, man. So in your own words, kind of bring us through where you started and where you're at now.
Well, sure. I mean, like, but most of my career was spent in public radio. So I was like, I worked for a show called This American Life, which is a big popular public radio show.
Just a small little show. Just kind of sneak that one in there. Just This American Life.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because like when I started working for it, it was like, you know, it was just a year or so old, you know, and so not many people knew what it was back then, you know, and so I'm still in that habit of sort of like, yeah, I work for the show. It's a magazine show on public radio. I had this call a long song and dance that I had to do mm-hmm. in the early days when I was trying to get people on the show. Mm-hmm. But that quickly, you know, I mean, that became sort of a big deal. And then I spent most of my time there. And then I started a show called Planet Money, which was a podcast about business and finance. And I was just noticing that, you know, there's this thing happening in the world of podcasts. They were getting more and more popular. Our numbers were growing every month. Like, people were just really enthusiastic about it. People started asking for my autograph. Literally, that happened a couple times.
Wow.
I was like, something is happening here.
Who did they mistake you for, by the way?
And so I decided to. So, you know, very long story short, I decided to start up my own company, which is a podcasting company.
Yeah.
It's called Gimlet Media, and that was a little under 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and that's where we are today.
Yeah, which
raised
I think
a bunch of money and put out a bunch of podcasts, and I'm calling you from our studios.
Awesome, which I think is, like, totally appropriate. And by the way, funny as hell that Wade, I don't think, Wade's like, all right, Alex, I don't know if you've been on a radio show before, or I don't know if you've done anything, you know, with broadcasting before, but Alex, let me just step you through this. Now, you want to have a connection that is clear. What kind of ringer did Wade put you through there?
Yeah, right?
Like, I know this.
Well, we went through a long thing where we were trying to get this, like, Bing download of it didn't work. Yeah. But,
oh, it's pretty funny. So let me ask you this, man, because, you know, it's really, really interesting that Gimlet is the name that you chose for your media company, because I'm not sure if you know this or not, but I actually own Liquor.com. So we are clearly kindred spirits of some sort there. So that's why that's clearly you named it after the drink, correct?
It's sort of. So there's a weird, I mean, we...
Or you, at least you named it while you were drinking. How about that?
You know, we had a branding company come up with that name.
How much did you pay for that? Like the branding company.
So we did an episode. So one of the first podcasts that we did was a podcast about starting our own company. Mm. And so it was very meta, but like it was called Startup. It still exists.
Can we give a quick like an applaud for Startup? Because like Startup is a really cool show. So like we have to stop for a second there. Great show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thanks.
No, really cool show.
So one of the hardest things, though, about starting a business, I came to learn, there's many hard things about starting a business, but one of them is coming up with a stupid name. And we kept on coming up with these names. First of all, we couldn't agree. My co-founder and I couldn't agree. And then we would finally agree on something, and we'd do a trademark search, and it'd be trademarked. And then we'd go back, and it was months and months and months, and things were sort of building, and we had to, like, be getting out station. You know, just like we had to build a website. We had all this stuff that we had to do, and we couldn't do any of it without a name. And so in desperation, we turned to this branding company called Lexicon Branding.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, we're doing this podcast. We'd like to feature, you know, we'd like to sort of like interview you about how to come up with a name. And so we did that, and they sort of ran that process for us. And that was one of the names, Gimlet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we liked it because it's the drink, it's fun, and it's like, you know, it's clear and fresh.
Yeah.
But also it has a secondary meaning, which is the drink comes from the gimlet, the tool, which is sort of like a boring tool. And so when you have the gimlet eye, it means that you're sort of like piercing and penetrating. It's a piercing and penetrating gaze.
Wow.
So we felt like that was nice, too.
Wow. Okay. So now now that you don't work for NPR anymore, can we talk some shit about NPR? Can we do that? Is that cool? Can we do that? Are you okay with that?
I mean, I'll see how far I can go.
How do we get them down out of the 7 of the top 10 podcasts?
Right. Does that make you mad, or is that cool?
Fair.
I mean, Alex, on one hand, you have to appreciate the fact that, like, you know, basically NPR put podcasting, so to speak, on the mainstream map. But on the same token, can't we take them out of their positions? I mean, because really, that's just wrong.
Well, here's what I think about NPR. I mean, I left NPR, obviously, but I didn't leave NPR because I didn't like the people or I didn't like the product. I mean, the product is, like, sometimes can be a little stodgy, but, like... I know. But, like, there's a lot of really smart people there, and I learned a lot from the people in the system. But it wasn't the most innovative system.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but they've got, like, a bunch of... they've got like a bunch of really smart people there who are really good. And so like, yeah. And like, they've got a huge distribution. They've got lots and lots and lots of listeners. Yeah. So, you know, they can, everything they put out, they have like a lot of people who listen to it.
Yeah. And when you go into sort of that whole world of NPR, I actually did a little rant at one point about how the folks on NPR, they have a podcast. I can't remember the podcast of the moment, the name of it, but they've got obviously a number of different shows. But one of them, they had a roundtable of folks who were basically ripping apart Straight Outta Compton. And I went a little rant about that because it's like, you know, I mean, how can you rip apart Straight Outta Compton, first of all? I mean, when you just look at that story, like, on the surface of these four kids from the ghetto doing what it is that they were able to do, yeah, I mean, come on. So is it the best biopic in the history of biopics? Probably not. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat Ray and, you know, some of those others, but still pretty damn good. But what I found so interesting about listening to that show in particular was it really occurred to me that, like, is there sort of like a printing press or something at NPR that they run all of you guys through so that you sound the same?
How does that happen?
How does that happen?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, I mean, I know exactly how it happens for me because I've been told, and this is not, I did not know this, but I've been told that I sound a lot like Ira Glass, my boss, my former boss. And I mean, you know, I was like looking for a career, you know, mm-hmm. I was like a young person and I wanted to do something and I wanted a mentor and like I got hooked up with that show and then I found one. Okay. And it's like, you just sort of pattern yourself after your mentors.
Yeah. All right.
And I think that's what happened with me.
It totally makes sense. All right. I do not want to start
sounding like you, Steve.
No. Well, you might. I don't know.
I don't want to.
All right. Please don't. All right. We got Alex Bloomberg on right here from Gimlet Media. More on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Oh, man, you know, it's always good to work with people who are masters of their craft. I got to tell you, working with Wade here, I learned so much every single day. Wade, you are the man. I have to tell you, like, out of all the men I've ever known, like, you are, like, when people say that he's the man, they're talking about Wade. They got to be talking about Wade Taylor. No, that's who they got to be talking about here. Yeah. All right. So
you try.
You try. All right. So bring Alex back up here from Alex. Yeah. There we go. So Alex. So if you were coaching Wade on let's say just potentially owning a radio station or maybe developing a podcast channel or something of that nature, let's talk about what you like most about Wade and where you think he could use some improvement.
I've only met Wade just once. I'm not gonna. Are you allowed to?
Yes, you are.
It's a family friendly show.
Oh no! Let it
out.
Oh
yeah, there's a big E on there.
I'm not going to talk to somebody I just met.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to goad me into that.
All right, fine.
Wade seemed like a really, really, really sweet guy.
He's not.
It was the problem was on my end. For some reason, it's not. My Google Chrome isn't cooperating.
Oh, wow, you're a diplomat.
So you just got me on the landline.
Wow, and what office are you running for exactly, and when? Well played.
I know. You're like, why is this guy being so political about some guy he doesn't even know?
All right, so let's talk
you're
about...
Right. You know what?
Go ahead.
Wade's an asshole.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, all right. There we go. Yeah.
Wow.
Finally.
Sorry, Wade. I was like, I've been.
It's not the same when you say sorry, right? Yeah. After.
It's like, I love you, but. No, you can't. You can't negate everything you said before that. All right. So let's ask you this. I mean, obviously, you got some really cool things going on with Gimlet. And by the way, supposedly there was an offer letter coming for Reinvented Radio to be on Gimlet Media. I haven't seen it yet. Mary, it was coming, right? Isn't that what they said?
That's what they said.
There was something like a 3-year contract at $1 million an episode, or I don't know, something like that. I haven't seen. Alex, do you know anything about the status of our agreement?
Yeah, I don't know about. I don't know. Who told you about the offer letter?
Wade. It was Wade. Wade said it. All right, but here's the deal. I mean, you're sitting on some good cash, man. You guys raised a good chunk of money, $6 million at a $30 million valuation. Pretty cool. Are you going to be raising another round of capital? And obviously, this speaks pretty highly about the podcasting world in and of itself, and how bullish people are on it. So talk about what that experience was like, just generally speaking, of starting out a company, because this was, I think, your true first entrepreneurial venture that you raised, you know, real money for. And then obviously people are pretty bullish on, on obviously the podcasting world. So just talk about that a little as well.
Yeah. Well, this was my first, being the CEO of my own company was the first full-time job I had in the for-profit sector since high school. When I was a bagger in a grocery store.
Congratulations.
So, like, I was a not-for-profit journalist for most of my life. So this was, like, brand new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think partly it was just sort of like I was seeing it all around me. You know, I was just like, I was working on these shows. They were very popular. They were gaining in popularity. So it just felt obvious to me. And I wasn't super great at convincing other people with money, to sort of buy into that, at least the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
But once we did, then, and once we had some success after that, then the second round was much easier. Once you prove your case, and once you launch a podcast and people listen to it, and you can monetize it, and you know you can build a business off of it, then it becomes much much easier. So the second round was like a whole different story.
Yeah.
It was very very yeah. So, but it's been great, and I think the reason for podcasts is. It's a pretty wide open medium. You know, I mean, especially compared to other forms of media, like compared to television, compared to print or digital media. It's like it's not in its infancy, but it's still younger than television. You know, and younger than print. So there's a lot of room to innovate, and I feel like this feels like a lot of territory.
Yeah, and the double-edged sword of the barrier to entry being pretty, shall we say, low, you know, makes it very appealing on one hand, but also, I'm sure, pretty scary on the other. Rich, you had a question for Alex.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is your process for either creating a show and or bringing someone else's show on to Gimlet Media?
Like if Reinvention Radio, for instance, potentially, just hypothetically, hypothetically.
Can you hear him, Alex, where he's going?
Oh, I know what he would say. If he would say what Michael said on that one, start anew.
New Coke, yes, please. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
I mean, our process, so I think, you know, on the barrier to entry being low, I think that is one of the, the way that we want to make a defensible business is that, so I think podcasts are sort of on the, when you think about video, for example, nobody says, do you watch video? People say, did you see that video on YouTube or did you see Game of Thrones? But, like, they're both video, right? Like, mm-hmm. this, like, the snapshot of the squirrel eating a pizza in a funny way and Game of Thrones, they're both video, but they're totally different beasts. And I feel like that's the differentiation that's starting to happen in podcasts. And so, like, what it takes to make something like Radiolab or something like Startup and what it takes to make, you know, a standard talk show, you know, mm-hmm. where like people come in and it's live to tape and it takes as long to sort of, there's not editing and stuff. They're two different things.
Yeah.
And I feel like both things can be great, like, but I think our competency and the way that we want to make a defensible business is to do the hard thing mm-hmm. because the barrier to entry is higher for it, and to be successful at it, you have to have like built up a lot more skill. So you can do a bad version of This American Life, and we often did bad versions of This American Life at This American Life.
Yeah.
But like you can do bad versions of it, and it's less fun to listen to than you know, somebody who comes into the booth and they have a fun conversation for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the fun 45-minute conversation can be great, and, like, the super-produced thing has to be really great to be better than the fun 45 conversation.
Yep.
So that the barrier to entry is high for that, because you need time, you need resources, and you need skilled people to pull it off.
Yep.
And so that's sort of what we built our machine to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going for. So, like, we'll probably never do a straight interview show. We'll never do a straight talk show.
Yeah.
Everything that we do is going to be different in some way and going to be harder. Like, I sort of joke sometimes that our business model is doing things that we're
right
not
now.
Quite sure we can pull off.
Pass the box of Kleenex, man. And
he's crying now.
So I'm not holding out hope. The offer letter I thought was coming. Hold on, I'm breathing in a bag right now. I'm all better. All right, but seriously, it's all good,
yeah.
Man. But and that brings up a good point, because reality is, I think it's harder to entertain people. Like you, come on, you've been laughing, you've been having a good time. You know, we're having just silliness and whatnot. You know, probably as well as anybody, that to entertain somebody with nothing more than a microphone is one of the hardest jobs in the world. So
it's super hard. Yeah.
Yeah, and so
and I don't know, and also that's not what I'm. I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't know, like. I never did that before.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's
so
clear.
Like, you're one of the hard things for me.
Yeah, you're not funny. I mean, we get that. You know, you're a nice guy. You're smart, and obviously you can raise money. But I mean, let's be real. You know, it's not your zone of genius.
Yeah, you give me a week to edit this conversation. It would be great.
No, that was funny. Yeah. He's like, once he knew he wasn't getting reinvention.
Yeah, now it's all
like,
the lid is off.
Coming at me.
Oh man! All right, so let's talk about this, because obviously you've got a lot of great shows on. Oh no! I'm not going to start complimenting you. You've got some decent shows on. you know, on Gimlet and all, but if you were advising some of those shows and advising some of new shows, like, you know, how do you increase listenership? How do you monetize a podcast? What do you tell some folks who are looking to get into this space, or even the folks on your own, you know, on your own channel?
Well, I feel like it's like the same thing that you tell anybody now in the media world, which is sort of like, you like it. The game is no longer getting a spot somewhere, because anybody has a spot anywhere. Right? Like, there's no more pipes. There's no more gatekeepers. It's all sort of like, you know, anybody can get an audience. And the only way to break through is to know what you're doing and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, like, to figure out, like, what is different about you? What are you doing? And, like, and get better at it. 'Cause that's what breaks through. And I feel like that's no matter what kind of podcast you're doing, you want to just be like, you want to differentiate, and you want to have something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think what happens a lot is sort of like, oh, they see somebody doing something, and they're like, I could do that.
Yeah.
And like, no, but they are already doing that. You have to do something else.
Mm-hmm. And is there still room, do you think? I mean, come on, the reality is there's a lot of podcasts out there. I mean, I think at the last count I saw there was like 300,000, which, I mean, in the scheme of things, there's 3 billion websites, and there's 300,000 podcasts. So, I mean, yeah, obviously there's a lot of room to grow, but when you talk about doing something different or having your own unique spin on it, do you think there's still room out there for new folk?
Oh my God, yeah. Ooh. Absolutely. Like, I feel like people are like, when you think about like what a podcast can be, you know, I mean, I think if you like look at what, you know, there's a lot of podcasts, and there's a lot of them. Like, look at what they're about. You know, there's a ton of comedy podcasts. There's a ton of celebrity podcasts. There's a ton of, you know, sort of like fan deconstruction podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not like, you know, there's like in other subject areas, there's not a ton out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, and then I feel like in terms of format, like most, like, I would say 99% of the podcasts are like, you know, they're doing, but, you know, sort of like a talk show format. And, like, that's great. And I feel like, but, like, you guys are doing it better than anybody else is going to be doing it. Or, like, there's a bunch of people who are doing it better already.
You said it. We're doing it much better than anybody else. Yeah. That's pretty much the end of the sentence.
Don't compete.
That.
Why would anybody want to compete with you guys?
Nobody wants to take on Reinvention. You take on Reinvention and you go down.
Absolutely.
Right. All right. Well, let's do this here, because we're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. We're talking to Alex Bloomberg. And this episode is brought to you by Miracy. It's easy to start a business, but it's hard to do it right and do so ethically. But you don't need to meet the status quo, because what you're building isn't just a business. It's a future, your future. Be inspired and reimagine what business can be. Get groundbreaking ideas on leadership, culture, productivity, and more on the Business Reimagined podcast with Danny Eney at Miracy.com. That's Miracy, MIRACE.com. More on Reimagined Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, we are talking to Alex Bloomberg here today on Reinvention Radio. And Alex got a pretty interesting storied career. And as of right now, he's, I believe, sitting back just sort of counting the Benjamins because you just raised $6 million not terribly long ago. And of that $6 million, Alex, how much is actually going into the business and how much went into your pocket?
Not much is going into my pocket.
Not much.
I'll tell you that.
All right, but
no. I mean, we have like almost 60 employees now, and we just we have to move. Yeah. So it's like a lot of it is it's all going into the business and employees and
Nice, man. And so the shows, the shows that you have, are those shows produced in house, or do you have people like hypothetically, like, you know, Reinvention Radio, like this kind of show, who do things outside of the studio, and then you put them onto your network? How does that work with most of your shows?
Almost everything is in-house right now. Mm-hmm. And that was because the kind of shows that we wanted to make were sort of, I knew, required, you know, sort of a larger staff and like, you know, we're going to require time and resources and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it just made sense to like sort of use that money to build those kind of shows.
Yeah.
I think in the future we might get to a point where we have just independent shows that we put on our network.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're doing mostly right now.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And so speaking of monetization, I mean, obviously you've been in the space and you've done a number of things in this world for quite some time. What do you tell the independent podcaster insofar as monetization is concerned? What do you do? Because do people actually make money from podcasts? Are you driving folks off the show somewhere else? What do you tell them? Because I'm sure people come to you all the time for advice. Like, let's just say, hypothetically, there's a show like called Reinvention Radio, and we wanted to hypothetically monetize this show. Any suggestions for how someone might do that, at least in your world?
Well, I mean, we monetize the same way you monetize, which is just sort of the thing that we just came back from, which is, you know, the advertisements. I think the difference is that we've sort of gone old school in that regard, because we do most of the advertisements we do are hosts read.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an in-house creative agency that makes the ads ourselves. So like, we come up with the concepts for the ads, and then the hosts sort of voice them. It's very clear that they're ads, like there's ad music and stuff like that, but it feels similar to the show, so it's not as disruptive. So that's sort of like, whoa, that's what we're doing. And I think And that's working well. Like the we can get pretty high ad rates for doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. And so what do those metrics look like? Like from your perspective, because obviously some of the shows that you've worked on have had some pretty impressive numbers. But as sort of a whole, when you look at the metrics for most shows, what kind of CPMs or cost per thousand, what sort of numbers can folks look potentially, what can they aspire to get to if they stay the course and build up their listenership? What are you seeing out there?
I mean, like anything, it varies a lot, you know, and it varies from show to show. It varies who your audience is, what sort of like, what's the, it's like anything, like what, who's your listener? How much do you advertise when to get there? How many of your listeners can they reach, et cetera. But like, I think the number is something like $20 CPMs per spot is the podcasting sort of average, which is whatever. It's fine. And then our numbers, because we produce them ourselves and we can have this sort of premium treatment to them, they're much higher. They're a multiple of that.
Yeah.
So we're getting, you know, we're doing pretty well in terms of the CPMs.
Yeah, so I'm just running the math here, and so basically $20 per thousand listeners.
We
so,
owe $2.
Yeah, exactly. So who do we make the check payable to? That's it's funny. All right, so did you actually? So you lived in Chicago. You were on NPR in Chicago. So you actually lived there, yeah?
Yeah, I did for 12 years. Yep.
Nice. Where were you at in the good old city of brotherly love? No, that's the wrong city. The city of Angels. No, that's not that wrong city. It's the Big Shoulders. I can't even remember my own city. I grew up there, and I don't know.
The
we got some kind of nickname.
Windy City, man. The Windy.
That's
city.
The
Windy
one. City. Damn it. That's right. Yeah. Well, so where were you at there? You lived actually in the city, and obviously you were there for quite some time. What did you think what did you think of the whole Chicago NPR scene?
Chicago NPR scene,
yeah.
WBEZ.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of it for a long time. There's a bunch of people I love there. Yeah, like the it was the problem was. I will tell you this. This is a true, fun, and non-controversial fact about WBEZ. It's on the middle. It's at the very end of Navy Pier. And it was such a gigantic pain in the ass to go to work on Navy Pier every single day.
Oh,
imagine that. It's like the number one tourist destination in Illinois. But you had to like just getting there every day. You just like had to sort of like it was like going to work in the middle of like a big tourist. Destination. It's just. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
And you're just like, so, yeah.
And look, we love our NPR, but let's be honest. I mean, they're a little pompous, you know? And so putting your station in, like, the single worst place for your employees to get to is, like, probably, like, the biggest pompous move. We are so worth it. You will do whatever you have to do, even if it involves leaving your house 2 hours earlier just to get down to the end of Navy Pier to be on our show. All right, that's it's so funny too.
And I will say there was like a little bit of like we're the only game in town, and so you know people will like scrap and like do per diem jobs and just like hang on as like for years sometimes just to get like you know get lucky enough to have like a you know sort of like a not very well compensated full time job.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel very proud that like what we've done and what some of the other companies that have sort of come up have done is created an actual competitive environment for people with these skills.
Yeah.
That feels good.
I mean,
it's expensive. We've had to make it more expensive for ourselves.
Yeah.
but that's fine. I'm proud of that.
So out of all the shows you have now on Gimlet, which one do you most regret putting on? Like, which is your least favorite? Like, if you had a choice, like, you were just like, man, I can't believe that we actually signed these people. Like, who's first on the chopping block?
I mean, I'm obviously not going to answer that question. I love all the shows. Equally.
I mean, we know it's not going to be Reply All. I mean, we know that. That's right. But there might be one short.
No, I love all of them, and I love all of them, and I'm excited. Yeah,
that's
I mean,
funny.
I guess there will come a day where like we launch a show that we're going to have to yank, but
yeah,
that day has not arrived.
Oh, that's great. So, what show are you most excited about on the network right now?
I mean, all the shows are really exciting. There's an episode of Startup coming out today, which will be out, like, I see the team working on it feverishly right now. It'll probably be out late tonight. And that has one of my sort of favorite scenes that we've ever had in a Startup episode. I'm super psyched about that. And, of course, Reply All had this, like, you know, this sort of mini serial almost, where it was like a mini sort of murder mystery four-parter that they just finished, which was, I just thought was tremendous. It's this, the reporter Sruthi Pinnamanini is like, she's just like a star. And that was just, that was pretty amazing. It's called On the Inside. And that was like, that was one of our highest rated programs ever, and just people loved it. And it was this four-parter about this guy who Mary and Adam committed this crime, and it was just great.
Yeah. And are you going back to the Windy City for Podcast Movement? Are you going to be there?
I am going to be there. Are you going to be there?
I will. So all three of us. We're actually going to be featured on the podcast makeover panel. So we'll hopefully see you there. And
they got a lot to work with.
They have a lot to work with. Yeah. They were like, "Who should we choose?" Oh yeah, these guys need help. No doubt. No doubt at all about that.
You're going to get made over?
That is the plan. Absolutely. And I will be. that's the plan. All right. So if people want,
what's going
to
happen?
Yeah. Well, that remains to be seen. I also wonder. Mary and Rich are what kind of wondering too. All right. So if people want more information about you, Alex. Obviously, they go to gimletmedia.com. Any place else online that they should check you out?
Gimletmedia.com. I'm on Twitter at Abex Lumberg, and or you can follow Gimlet Media at Gimlet Media. Check out the shows. All the shows are on the website, gimletmedia.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so very much, Alex, for joining us here on Reinvention Radio. And again, this episode is sponsored by our friends at Miracy.com. It's easy to start a business, but it's hard to do it right and do it ethically. Make sure they get groundbreaking ideas on leadership, culture, productivity, and more on the Business Reimagined podcast with Danny Eney at Miracy.com. That's Miracy.com. We'll talk to you guys next time.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.